in the urban farm with farmer Greg.
It is so important. If you have, and this is me preaching, you guys didn't set me up on this, go to rosieonthehouse.com, because those guys and gals that you guys certify, they're amazing. I've had so many incredible experiences, and I automatically go to Rosie on the House to find them with your certified people. And
well, thank you. We work every day to make that the one-stop shop for all your homeowner needs. Yeah. RosieOnTheHouse.com. Welcome back, and if you're just joining us, we were right in the middle of a conversation about water harvesting with Farmer Greg of the Urban Farm, and he was mentioning that storing water is expensive for the tank. I thought you were going to say it was because all the things we had to do to keep algae from growing and to keep it purified, but you mentioned that the way tanks are designed, that's not an issue anymore. That's great, awesome, but it's still the upfront infrastructure cost. So,
right now, I'm not saying that it's not good to put in tanks. If you're in a place, so my friend Barbara lives just outside of Tucson in Marana. She is on a well that occasionally will go dry, and she has the rainwater coming off of her roof. So in that kind of a situation, it makes perfect sense to put in rainwater tanks, which she's done on every corner of her roof. That goes back to the return on investment. What is your water cost where you're at, and what's the cost of your tanks to get it in? So I usually tell people, first step, plant the water in the landscape. And through this process, you need to figure out, is it cost effective to put in tanks?
And you had mentioned the pricing going to the break. I can tell you that pricing's with the cost of materials right now. It's probably even more than we would guesstimate it at.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the nice thing about my tank in my backyard is the culvert. You know, it's just a 4-foot diameter metal culvert that was 8 feet long that I bought. And we, you know, did a whole process by which we put it in and planted it with concrete. And, you know, it's a permanent fixture now here 16 years later that collects rainwater, and it'll continue doing that. But in retrospect, I wouldn't have made that choice to do that in that particular way.
All right. So making the case for, in this particular segment, rainwater. We're very distinct to separate water harvesting from rainwater, but specifically for rainwater, making the case for harvesting it.
So I actually get this same question for people in the desert as people in a very rainy place. People in the desert is, why should I bother harvesting rainwater? We don't get enough. And people in a really rainy place say, why should I bother harvesting water? We get so much. And really the bottom line answer to that is it's free. And it's pretty pure. And, you know, my friend Brad Lancaster down in Tucson, hello Kismet, Kismet saying hi. My friend down, Brad Lancaster down in Tucson, drinks rainwater. He collects the rainwater off of his roof, and that's what he drinks.
I assume he doesn't have an asphalt roof. It's probably like a metal roof.
Metal roof, exactly. Yes, if you're going to drink your water, you definitely need a metal roof, and you probably want to put in a filtration system.
Sloped so, metal roof. You wouldn't want to do a flat foam roof either.
Exactly. Exactly.
So can you make fire water out of rainwater by chance?
That's a different show.
Sorry. Lost my mind there for a second.
So here's the key thing. For every 1,000 square feet of collection area, for every inch of rain you get, you get about 600 gallons of water. Remember at the top of the show, I said that we got 29,000 gallons of water in a hour and a half long 3-inch event. How I did it is I did the math on the property. I have 14,000 square feet, and you know, we're getting 600 gallons for every inch. That means for every 1,000 square feet that day, we got 3 inches of rain. That's 1,800 gallons of water for every 1,000 square feet. And that adds up.
That adds up.
that adds up. And especially if you're wanting to, put it in your landscape and get your landscape water. Here in the desert, you don't necessarily need to drip irrigate desert landscaping if you're planting the water. So once your desert landscape is established, it can go on rainwater, especially if you're pushing extra rainwater off of your roof surfaces. So real quickly, I've got my tale of two rainwater harvesting systems, and I mentioned this earlier. My rainwater tank, we had about $1,400 worth of supplies to put it in. It's not passive. It requires me to go out and turn on a spigot in order to use it. So it's almost passive, but in order to use that water, I have to go put a hose in place. That is for the north half of my roof. The south half of my roof is a tankless system. That was the $80 one that I put in. And basically the water runs down a pipe and about 30 feet out into one of my small orchards here at the urban farm. And it's the sustainability system that I'm most proud of here at the urban farm, because if the house is still standing in 50 years, this system, the $80 system, is simple enough that it will still be up and running just exactly the way I've designed it. And it's like I'm patting myself on the back, because that is a brilliant design.
And it was $80.
And it was $80.
And when you mentioned your urbanfarmwatering.com earlier and the watering class, I'm sure we can get a little more detail about that system and the design. Yes. And use that as we're trying to look at the design elements for our own urban farms. And just if you've never heard or not familiar with the urban farm, we're not talking about a big piece of land, hint, urban farm. You're on a third of an acre, Greg?
Yep, 14,000 square feet.
So not, I mean, that's pretty typical lot size for a lot of homes. I don't know that there's many that are much smaller. The difference is the homes are a lot bigger now on those lots than they were built back in the, in your neighborhood when they were developing it in the 50s and 60s and 70s. But that doesn't mean we can't utilize the space around your home that's on your property to have your own kind of food orchard or
shade. I tell you what,
herb gardens.
Exactly.
I think it's Jay always makes the point that herbs cost the most and grow the best.
That's
Farmer Greg. Sorry. Yeah. These things cost Basil. The most in the produce section, but it's some of the easiest stuff to grow.
That stuff grows wild in my yard now. Today, I have basil, oregano, parsley, cilantro 2 weeks ago, dill, all growing wild in my yard. And it's because of the systems that I put in place and the rainwater harvesting that I've got in place.
And there really is something to your meal when you have those fresh versus the dried up shakers from the can. I mean, there's a definite difference to your meal.
Yeah. So gray water, do we have time in this segment to touch on that?
Let's do it.
All right. So the reason to use gray water, and remember, gray water is any water that goes down any sink or drain in your house except your kitchen sink and your toilets. Those are called black water. And this will help reduce the use. If you figure out how to get it into your landscape, it helps reduce the use of fresh water. It's going to reduce the strain on septic and treatment systems because it's not putting as much water in them. This is, in permaculture, something we call stacking functions. And stacking functions is one of my favorite concepts, both in permaculture, and I don't know if you know this, but I went back to school late in life and I got a urban planning degree from Arizona State University in 2004. And in one of my classes at ASU called transportation planning, they call it trip stacking. So the concept basically is you don't go to the grocery store and come home and go to the doctor and come home and go to the drugstore. What you do is you go to the grocery store, the doctor and the drugstore, and then you come home. That's called trip stacking. So in our landscapes, we can also do the same thing. And right now what we're talking about with gray water is you use water to shower and then you figure out how to get it into your landscape, which we can talk about, and it waters your plant. So you're effectively watering that, using that water twice. And so that's, I love that. I absolutely love it.
And I'm trying hard not to badmouth anybody, but that trip stacking, I've noticed with how much people order from home, how the delivery service are a huge violation of that. You'll see him coming in the neighborhood, and then 2 hours later, he's over here. And then 3 hours later, you see him over there, like, you know. would it kill you to just wait till the end of the day, get them all in the neighborhood, do once tomorrow instead of back and forth five times in the day?
And making all right turns throughout that whole trip, because that'll save you more time. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. So a big thing with gray water harvesting is, and we talked about this earlier, you don't ever want to store it. It turns to black water pretty quickly. Most of my rainwater and gray water systems, where they exit out of the pipe is in a mulch basin. And I'm, you know, if you've listened to this show, you know I can't say enough about heavy duty mulch. 6, 8, 10, 12 inches of mulch on dirt will start building healthy soil very quickly. So what I've done is I've set up mulch basins around my landscape so that the water exits the rainwater and gray water harvesting systems and enters into this mulch basin that's like a sponge. And the main mulch basin that I have off my back patio, when I first dug it out, I dug 3 feet down and 3 feet wide and I filled it with woody mulch. And every year I just throw some more woody mulch in there. And that acts as the water disbursement area for a lot of my rainwater and gray water systems here at the urban farm.
That's a stacked function.
That is a stacked function. That's right, because the mulch and water is acting like a sponge. It's receiving the water. If it's gray water, it's receiving the water. The mulch is cleaning the water if there's from any impurities. Plus, I have citrus trees parked right next to my basins, my rainwater and gray water basins, that take that water up and make fruit.
And next month, we're going to be talking composting. Now, mulching and composting are a little different, but a big part of composting is you having some kind of water added to it to help the heat process. So there is an element to composting that can come into this mulching as well, I assume. Okay. If there's a way to do it, I'm sure you've already done it.
Experimented with it, at least.
All right, we have one final segment here with Farmer Greg at Rosie on the House here in our Outdoor Living Hour, fourth Saturday of the month. So we're in the urban farm.
So about Blackwater, is that what the Doobie Brothers were actually singing about, Farmer Greg?
I think they were singing something about the swamp.
Yeah.
They?